We have the executive team here with us and our county executive. Thank you for being here today. We're excited to hear what you have to say. Please welcome our county executive, Joni Mahoney.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairman McMahon, for that incredibly warm welcome.
Yeah, it's always warm. It's always warm in here.
You really shouldn't have. I am pleased to be here to present the 2019 budget. And as I have every year, I'm presenting to you today a balanced budget that continues Onondaga County's proud history of careful fiscal stewardship. Before I get started, I want to recognize the work of the county's management and budget team, and in particular, the work of Steve Morgan, our CFO. Steve not only oversees the preparation of the budget every year and answers any questions the legislature has, but he's the person that keeps us on track every single day during the year. A few years ago, I purposefully created a bottleneck at Steve's office when I required that all requests to fill vacant job titles be signed off on by Steve personally. We had been through a couple rounds of retirement incentives, and it was important not to simply rehire one for one. As you all know, I hope by now, we had 4,224 county employees when I started, and we have 3,054 today. There are 1,170 fewer county employees today than there were when I became county executive. Virtually every department and almost every other elected official has successfully managed their operations with fewer people. It's been a priority of mine to keep our headcount down, and it's the reason we've been able to not only weather the recession that we had, but we've also been able to keep our heads up as we've endured a couple more years with sluggish sales tax receipts. Steve has endured the slings and arrows on my behalf from the departments as well as the deputy county executives, as he carefully scrutinized every single new hire. Oftentimes, Steve and his analysts were able to encourage departments to look at their processes and reconfigure things to manage with the resources they already had. And Steve leads by example. Between the two of us, we cut $8 million in salaries out of the executive departments last year, and Steve's department was no exception. He doesn't whine and complain. He is the consummate professional, and he always gets the job done well. Every taxpayer in Onondaga County can be relieved to know that they have Steve Morgan working for them every day and keeping a careful eye on every dollar that we spend. I want to take a minute to thank Steve and his entire management and budget team. So, all the hard work has paid off, and what I present to you today is a budget that includes a property tax rate of $5.04 per thousand. It's the lowest it's ever been. We have never pierced the property tax cap, and this year will be no different. My budget is almost $5,000 less than what the cap would have allowed. With my budget, a homeowner in a $100,000 house will pay $504 in property tax in 2019. That's $504 for road improvements, snow plowing, a world-class park system, a health department to keep us safe, and dozens of other county functions. We continue to do what we can to carefully nudge the rate down, and we've done so by cutting the size and cost of your county government. We take very seriously our ability to knock a dollar or two off the property tax bill of the average homeowner. And in case you don't think a dollar or two is a lot of money, try raising the property tax by the same amount. You will have a new appreciation for the value of a few dollars. We also have some help in our budget this year from a couple sources we've not been able to count on in the past. The assessed value of property in the county has increased by over $800 million, which represents an almost 3% increase. It's good news for homeowners who haven't seen their housing values increase like this in quite some time. Sales tax is also up 9% year over year. It's a big increase and very encouraging. With your help and the state's investments, we've seen thousands of bowlers, over a million state fair visits, and hundreds of thousands of concert goers at the amphitheater. hotel owners report robust business with all of the activity, and the increased revenue is an indication that our investments are producing real results. My budget conservatively projects a 3.5% increase in sales tax in 2018 and an additional 3% in 2019. On the expense side, you'll see in this budget that salaries will cost $6 million more in 2019 than they did this year, and fringe benefits will add another $3 million. That increase is almost exclusively due to negotiated labor contracts as well as our regular step increases. There's not a raise for management and confidential employees in my budget, but with CSEA and our other bargaining units seeing raises almost every year, the time has come once again to make sure our MCs are being compensated fairly. To that end, I intend to create a committee to make recommendations regarding MC salaries for the 2020 budget. Legislator Monica Williams has already agreed to bring her expertise and serve on that committee, and I'm asking our personnel commissioner, Dwayne Owens, to create the committee and oversee its work. Also on the expense side, my budget includes a $1.5 million cash contribution for road work to supplement some of the borrowing we do. There's also $3.2 million for snowplow trucks. DOT has waited patiently for new vehicles, and I believe the time has come. We also keep a careful eye on debt service in DOT and elsewhere, and the $1.5 million in cash is a healthy balance, enabling us to do even more of the pay-as-you-go paving. You'll see a $1.9 million increase in Medicaid costs, and it's because every few years we make an extra payment in a calendar year, depending on what day the year starts. It does not represent an increase in the rate we pay. It is simply a function of the calendar. As a matter of fact, the state's implementation of a hard cap on Medicaid continues to provide tremendous relief in our budget. Our total spend for Medicaid in 2017 in this county was $938 million. Of that, our local county taxpayers contributed $99 million, which represents about 11%. If the cap was not in place, our share would have been $160 million. It's been a tremendous savings for us. It's important to note that because some people are using an old talking point about state mandates going up, and the opposite is now true. We're able to keep our property tax rate low because the state took over millions of dollars of Medicaid expenses from our counties. So with the assessed values up and sales tax revenue up, we're able to keep the property tax rate low and still meet our obligations and fund our priorities. The Agriculture Council, which has been co-chaired by our majority leader, Dave Knapp, and Farm Bureau President Harvey Skeel, has guided investments to our local farms and food producers. On September 22nd, the county will once again experience On Farm Fest, when 11 local farms will open their doors for a great event that showcases the benefits of buying local food. Dave, I will tell you, it's not only fresh, nutritious, and delicious, it's also better for the environment because you don't have to truck it across the country, and it's better for our economy because it supports local jobs. You'll see in this budget that I've included $100,000 for the Agriculture Council. And before Legislator Knapp gets too concerned, I'm also happy to report that we have $100,000 for the Cornell Cooperative Extension in the budget. So the Agriculture Council won't have to continue to fund the Cornell Cooperative Extension on its own. It's a net of $200,000 for the Agriculture Council to continue its important work. And knowing Dave Knapp, that number usually increases by the time I get the budget back. The budget also includes drug task force funding to continue the health department's battle against the opioid epidemic, and I want to thank in particular Dr. Gupta and her team for their tremendous leadership on this front. There are funds in the budget for technology upgrades in both Children and Family Services as well as the Department of Social Services. The investments will assist our workers in completing their work in a timely manner. By providing electronic access out in the field for all the necessary documentation our child welfare staff requires, we can dramatically reduce the administrative time we've had to spend on our cases. You'll also see that the intake area in DSS functions a lot better. Gone are the long lines, and work is assigned a lot more efficiently. It's one of the many examples of why we're able to serve clients more efficiently without having to add new staff. And speaking of new staff, in addition to the $8 million reduction I made to salaries in last year's budget, you'll see that I've once again reduced personnel costs in my own office. Two longtime assistants, Mary Beth Rice and Karen Ryan, are retiring this year, and just as I've asked everyone else to do, I will reorganize the work in my office and live with one fewer employee next year. I'm not sure if it's a revenge budget when you do it to your own budget. In any event, I want to acknowledge and thank Mary Beth and Karen for a job well done. Both of them worked in the executive office in the Puro administration, and as Ed Cochin, who I've seen in the back, can attest, they were tremendously helpful to me when I came in. So thank you very much to Mary Beth Rice and Karen Ryan. They are two of the thousands of talented and hardworking people we have in county government. I've been very lucky, and I'm very grateful. You will also see that, just as I did last year, I've proposed again that we merge 911 with emergency management. I know the legislature has been briefed in recent weeks, and I'm anticipating support for this proposal. It's not only a better way to coordinate and manage these crucial public safety departments, but it has the added benefit of continuing to reduce the number of separate departments we have in our county government. The legislature's also been briefed with respect to the implementation of the state's Raise the Age legislation. You'll see in this budget that the county is well positioned to expand our juvenile justice reform work to include 16-year-olds this year and 17-year-olds next October. This is legislation that I have supported since its inception because research in other states where it's been enacted demonstrates that it reduces recidivism and increases the likelihood that a young person will turn their life around. This budget includes, again this year, a $6 million fund to upfront the money for the Alliance for Economic Inclusion. The hallmark of the AEI funding was to address poverty by creating jobs in distressed communities. Good examples include the Shuttle to Work program and the collaboration among Peace Incorporated and Partners in Learning to work with childcare solutions on creating a number of new small business opportunities in the area of childcare in our county. And we know that transportation to and from work is often a barrier for people to escape poverty. The Shuttle to Work program will operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as needed for a nominal fee from participants where their employment is not on a traditional bus route. Onondaga County is proud to be able to make this programming possible for ourselves as well as our neighboring counties. All of the money will be reimbursed by state government through the Upstate Revitalization Initiative prize that we were awarded in 2015. I've included $250,000 in this budget to support the work of the Land Bank. I was happy to see that Mayor Walsh included significant funding for the Land Bank in his own budget this year, and it's important that we work together with the Land Bank. There is new funding in the amount of $100,000 for the Museum of Science and Technology. The MOST has a new executive director, and she has expressed concern about the museum's current fiscal condition. In a letter to the MOST yesterday, I expressed a willingness to help, but I cautioned that this is not a permanent funding stream. The MOST is a tremendously valuable institution, and we want to ensure that the new leadership has an opportunity to right the ship. You'll see an increase in the county's appropriation to Visit Syracuse. At the same time, you'll see a reduction in our own Office of Economic Development. In consultation with Danny Liedka at Visit Syracuse and Eric Vinyl, the county's film commissioner, we've determined that at this point, the film commissioner role is more appropriately housed at Visit Syracuse rather than inside county government. Eric Vinyl did a great job with our fledgling film industry, but now that Hollywood really has come to Onondaga and the industry is taking off, an organization like Visit Syracuse offers more support. Those are some of the programmatic highlights. You'll also see money for the sheriff's office to buy new cars in the budget. It's not quite as much money as the sheriff would like, but it does provide funding for a dozen new cars. Likewise, you'll see that I've put money in probation's budget so they too can buy cars. Before you dive into the probation budget with Commissioner Andrew Sisherman, I will tell you that the idea for the appropriation for cars came from me. There have been multiple occasions over the last couple years where people have asked for a probation presence as part of an overall public safety strategy. The cars will help us increase probation's presence. The other significant item in the budget that I'd like to draw your attention to is my request that you approve a $30 increase in the sewer unit charge. In the 2013 budget, I told you that our sewer unit charge was about $57 lower than that of similar systems. I asked you then to support a gradual increase of 5% per year for the next 5 years. It is now 5 years later. Funny how that happens. And while we made progress catching up, the current rate puts us about $41 behind our targeted sewer rate. No one likes to pay for sewer infrastructure, but it's the right thing to do. Onondaga County's infrastructure is something all of us can take pride in. We maintain our roads well, and our wastewater infrastructure is in good shape, but it all needs ongoing investment. WEP makes 55,000 gallons of water clean every minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and WEP is compliant in excess of 99% of all reports on all permit parameters while doing so. In addition, WEP is currently completing over $40 million in capital projects at multiple treatment plants, at pump stations, with green streets and green parks, and on buried sewers across our entire sanitary district. This work is being done safely, cost-effectively, and without interruption to the vital services we provide to our local industries and to the general public. It's imperative that we continue to responsibly invest in our infrastructure. Hashtag fix our pipes is not a responsible infrastructure strategy. Investing and fixing our own pipes is what Onondaga County has always done, and the proof is in the good working condition of our vital infrastructure. Before I finish, I want to draw your attention to the fund balance. We are on track to finish 2018 with a surplus, which would prevent our having to use any of the fund balance this year, including the amount that you approved in our current budget. If current projections hold, the fund balance will be at the 10% goal when we close the books on 2018. For the 2019 budget, I've appropriated $1.5 million in fund balance, knowing that it will be replenished with payment from the state for our Medicare Shared Services Initiative that we are starting with the city and the city school district. The net effect should be another year without having to use any of our rainy day funds. And I'll leave you with some good news. Last week, we met with the rating agencies in New York City, and I heard yesterday that Fitch has reaffirmed our AAA rating. With interest rates inching up, the rating is very important to our capital improvement plan, which we'll bring over later this fall. So those are the highlights. I wish you well as you dive into the details with management and budget, department heads, and the deputy county executives. The property tax rate is low, the fund balance is strong, sales tax revenue is growing, and our infrastructure is in good working order. With the AAA credit rating, our county's in good fiscal condition, and my guess is that this should be a pretty smooth budget process. Thank you for being good partners in county government.
We are adjourned.